Hi. Okay, so thanks for taking the time to chat. Let's
Of course.
start right from the top. Your year of graduation, your major, and your primary instrument.
Okay, my year of graduation was 2011. My primary instrument was voice, and I studied music business.
Excellent. And that is multiple tracks, correct?
Right, and I was entrepreneurship.
Entrepreneur. Cool. And let's start. Tell us all about your current job. What do you do now?
So my current,
We'll get to how you got there later.
of course. So my current job is I am a senior administrative associate also, or which is considered an executive assistant at Boston Children's Hospital, and I am the assistant to the chief of medicine critical care.
Assistant. So, your boss is your boss an administrator, a doctor?
He's a doctor. Yes, he's an intensivist, and we work on an ICU.
Great. So, ICU intensive care units, right?
Yes, correct.
So, work. There are other doctors you then support as well?
Yes, I have three physicians that I report to directly, but overall there are 10 of them that I work with.
Well, so could you describe what your typical day? Oh, this is a full-time job, correct?
Correct. This is a full-time Monday through Friday, 7 to 3 at the moment job. Yes.
Okay, so it's a full-time, but it's an honest 40 hours a week as opposed to some full-time jobs.
Correct. Yes.
So full-time
It
jobs say full-time, and then you're working 60 or 70 hours, but this is a real 40-hour full-time job.
Yep,
Excellent.
it's a
So,
real 40-hour, and when they, if I need to be there longer, I stay, it depends on deadlines and things like that, but otherwise it's a solid 40 hours a week for me.
that's 7 a.m. to 3 p.m.,
Correct.
which I suppose at least you beat the morning rush hour is the good news, but
Yes.
quite a contrast from Berkeley hours, eh?
I'm sorry.
I said quite the contrast from Berkeley hours.
Yes, I know. That's the one thing is I found that it was really, really hard to stay up late at night, like to have that musician dynamic. I guess that's why I enjoy working 7 to 3 for now.
Right. Okay, so tell us, like, what does your typical day or week entail?
So a typical day for me, like I said, I get in around 7 and put up the email, double check anything, make sure everything's answered and squared away, and then I go ahead and I take a walk on. There are two units that I work with. One is an intermediate care, which is a step down from the ICU, which is right next door, and I work on a couple quality improvement initiatives in the hospital. So there are forms and things that can get filled out depending on what's going on overnight that I collect in the morning, and then I enter the data into a database. And then I also help with card flip rounds, which is both teams come, we all go into a conference room and we discuss the disposition of each patient very rapidly just to go through and see who's coming and going. So that's a lot of fun. So, yeah, and
That's
then
the morning, right? And
that's the morning. And then, there are a lot of things. My job is very, it can be very fast paced, and there are things that are very structured. So I spread my week out accordingly to things that I do, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then, whatever else comes my way during the day. Because I also do elective admissions for our units, which there are, doctors that would like their patients to have inpatient sleep studies, desensitizations, things like that. So I work with families to coordinate those for them to come into the hospital.
elective admission, like they're choosing when they're going to the hospital.
Correct. That's correct. So, and it all depends. It can be a lot at once or very slow and steady, solid pace. But it is always exciting and there's always something going on for sure.
Gotcha. And it sounds like you report to, well, a doctor that have lots of support projects, I imagine at a hospital, you're definitely not allowed to mess up.
Right. You know, it's a lot of attention to detail. There's a lot of expectations, you know, no matter what your job is in the hospital, it's one that is taken very seriously, and there's a lot of attention given to everyone and a lot of teamwork that goes into, you know, every job at the hospital, including, administration.
Sure. And you say you're at Boston Children's Hospital. Do you interact much with the patients, the children there?
So, you know, I walk by some of the rooms, and, you know, if there's a patient well enough that's standing up in their room and able to say hello, things like that, of course, you walk by, you say hello. I like to think that I converse more with the parents, seeing if they need anything in the hallway, always saying, hi, how are you? You know, really showing that you're paying attention, even if you're not providing clinical care, that you are, you know, really trying to help in some way. I do work on a research study where I'm able to see previous patients, which is great because I get to bring them in and do some height, weight, and head circumference and, you know, get to learn about them and how well they're doing. And that's great. So
yeah, it sounds like you're describing some of it. What do you like about your job? Well, the criteria to be interviewed, of course, is that you enjoy your job. What makes you want to go there?
There are a lot of things that make me wake up and want to go to work in the morning. And in particular, it's the people that I work with. And I say work with and not work for, because we really are a team no matter where in the hospital you are. And I'm really fortunate to have wonderful coworkers and to be able to help support the work that they do. Again, whether it is administration or clinical, you know, I love going to work and seeing my coworkers. I really do. and my job. I do love my job.
Oh, that's great. Coworkers can make a huge difference. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let's take it back then, if you don't mind, to, you said 2011. Did you finish in the spring?
I did.
Okay, so there we are. It's May 2011. You've just gotten your diploma, a real diploma, right? Because you don't have more classes still to do.
Right.
And there you are. I'm guessing you didn't suddenly hear a voice that said hospital administration.
No, you're right. I didn't. Absolutely not.
So tell us about your position. Position meaning, like, what was going on right then as you're getting your diploma?
Yeah. So at the time, I was a tour manager for Walter Beasley, who's a professor at the school at Berkeley as well. Okay. And it was just like a part-time thing, you know, could work from home, stuff like that. And then I was teaching voice and piano on my own privately. And then I also taught figure skating because I was I'm a former figure skater.
And just to confirm that as a voice and piano teacher, you were working independently.
Correct. And I was, and it was just basic theory on the piano and then basic vocal technique.
But mostly with what, like middle school and high school students?
Any elementary, middle school, and high school. But on the higher end of elementary students, yeah.
Did you go to their house then, or did you have a place on your own?
I did. I actually, I have a little studio at my parents' house that we use, and then I also would do house calls as well.
So. Very nice. Do you mind sharing with what you were charging back then?
No, that's fine. It was like 45 minutes, $35 for basic piano theory, because piano wasn't my principal. I just know basic piano theory, like I said, and it's actually something I really enjoy. So it was great to be able to teach, and for voice lessons for 45 minutes, it was $40. So.
Okay. Not bad.
And
like, how many of these lessons were you giving in a typical week?
I want to say, about four.
Okay.
You know, and then what was really great, I remember I had one high school student who I did piano and voice with, and she was great. She was playing Sarah Bareilles before, like, better than I could. You know, it was really awesome to see that, so.
That's great, but okay, four students, definitely a very respectable side income, but not your main thing.
Right, no, definitely not.
Okay, so you're doing the voice lessons, you're doing a little tour managing.
Mm-hmm. And teaching some skating.
Some skating? Yes. Skating lessons. You're putting together something.
Right. Yeah. I had enough money, you know, I had enough money to still live at home and do whatever I wanted, I guess, if that, you know, as when you graduate college, there's not much more you want than to have some money to do what you want, I guess.
Right. Okay. So then what? You're doing these three things. It's the summer of 2011 or what
right.
changes?
So,
what got into your head and inspired you onto the path? And what was the first step on your path?
So I remember thinking to myself, well, I graduated on my 25th birthday. So I knew within the year I needed to find a job with benefits. And I was really interested in teaching, which I think, you know, teaching skating and teaching voice and piano and having that really set a solid foundation for me to, you know, have a light bulb go off and say, you know, maybe you should be a teacher.
Like an elementary school teacher?
Right. Yeah, okay. I really loved, I think that's a great age. And, you know, kids really want to learn. And I just was really excited about it. So I applied to some, like, teaching assistant positions and some, you know, teaching aides in daycares, things like that. And, you know, I got calls back. And, you know, when the time came to accept the job, some of them didn't have benefits. And there were a lot of little things where I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe this isn't right yet. And I kept applying to things. And then finally I went through a temp agency and they started sending me on a lot more administrative jobs.
So like a lot of temp things really are temp where you're filling in for someone for a week or a few days. Or is that the type of thing you're saying?
Yes. And, you know, it was great. I would go on some interviews and they would be like, okay, you're a temp to hire. So it would be a trial period, like you said, and then you would, you know, then be hired onto the company if it was a good fit for both.
And by the way, quick check in, as you're temping, when is this about? When do you start temping?
This was the fall of 2011.
So a few months after you graduate.
Right. Yeah. Right. I knew right away it was going to take a while to find something.
Sure. And were you still doing these other three jobs, the tour managing and the lessons?
So at that time I was just doing skating and I was, just teaching voice and piano. So the skating really provided a solid foundation as far as finances went for me. So.
Cool. And was that pay, by the way, pretty comparable to your music pay?
It was actually more because, I was a figure skater for, about 17 years, at a pretty high level. So, I was able to charge more for my lessons.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. So back to your temping, you're getting a lot of little things.
Mm-hmm. And then I stumbled across this, you know, job with the temp agency for a really big real estate company in the city overlooking the seaport, beautiful office. You know, the founder and CEO of the company, you know, 98 years old, still comes in a few hours a week. And out of 10 applicants, I got the job.
And big, like a lot of people working there?
Yeah, they have, you know, several different offices, different departments. And I mean, it was just such a big, well-known firm and I can't remember the name to save the life of me. But, at the time I remember being like mystified. And so like, oh my gosh, this is corporate life. And they had an office in Paris and London. And I remember after taking the job and asking them like, oh, you know, cause I always wanted to live abroad. I had lived abroad before in Milan and like living in Paris or London, that's a dream. And I remember asking, okay, so what, like, how long would I have to be here until I could be transferred overseas? And they were like, yeah, never. And I was like, oh, okay. Awesome. So, specifically with that is I was there for 4 hours and I was training and it was like, it was all about paging WB orders and...
I'm sorry, what are WB orders?
Oh, I'm sorry. What's the, they're like the that paper company. WB is the office
supplies. Oh, WB Mason. Office supplies.
Yes, office supplies. And after 4 hours, I looked at the young woman who was training me and I said, you know, can I go talk to the hiring manager? And I walked into her office and I started crying and I said, this isn't for me. Like, I really thought that I could do this, but you know, the hours were 9 to 6 and that would interfere with coaching. And that's not something I was ready to give up at the time. And while the salary was like $55,000, it was not enough for me to sacrifice things that truly made me happy at 25 and okay with where I was in life to give up.
$55,000 is pretty good.
Yeah. That's it's a
entry level administrative position.
Right. And I just remember thinking too, like there has to be something for me to give back in a way that I want to. And I just didn't find it there. You know, it just wasn't for me.
But that didn't turn you off to all administrative things.
No. So after that, I decided to kind of stray away from the temp agency. And I applied to a job at Boston Children's as a part-time 20-hour with benefits administrative assistant AA2 position.
Hold that thought just one sec.
Sure.
When you say you decided to apply, can I ask how you found out about the job?
So I had done a fundraiser while at Berkeley as my senior project, taking a class with Marty Dennehy, and he chose the project that I pitched, which was a music and arts festival for Children's Hospital to raise money. And that's how I remembered. I was like, oh, maybe, you know, I'll see if they have something open. I went to their website and started looking through their openings and what I was qualified for. And some things that I, you know, might not have been qualified for then, but knew if, you know, I worked hard enough and they wanted me enough to be there, then I would learn. So.
Okay, so you had a little familiarity with Children's. Yeah, they actually saved my life when I was 7 years old. Bacterial meningitis.
Wow.
Ugly. Yeah. Apparently they caught it with about 3 hours left because, you know, once you hit that gets in you, you're on the clock.
Right. No, that's incredible. Yeah.
But so definitely a worthwhile cause. So you went to their website and
yep.
You're actively interested. I assume you saw this position open.
Yep. I saw it and I got a call back a couple weeks later, and it's actually funny, I was on another interview when they called, and they were like, are you busy? I'm like, well, I'm about to go into another interview, and they were like, can I ask what it's for? So I was like, oh gosh, like, I hope I didn't just ruin my chances already, and I haven't even, you know.
Oh, not at all. A company's like someone who's actively.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I found out. So I remember meeting my manager for the first time, and I walked in, and I was like, this is where I want to be. She was awesome, and just really supportive from the get-go. And, you know, everyone I interviewed with, I just knew that, you know, I was so unfamiliar with the territory, but I wanted to become familiar with it. And I think that that's something I expressed to them and they saw. And, you know, I've been there almost, it'll be 4 years in January.
Employers definitely are looking for someone who's going to love the job. And, you know, the way you talk about the job at starting, I can really hear that coming through.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
I assume if it came through like that on the interview, no wonder you got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. There, you said it was an administrative assistant, was it? 20 hours a week?
Right. 20 hours a week. And it was, you know, basic 2 days a week, 10 hours. You know, really just a wonderful, easy pace. I didn't have to worry about changing my schedule too much. I could still coach. I could still teach voice and piano. And I can slowly ease myself into a career. It wasn't something that I was, you know, being forced to change everything for. And I think that that's something that I really needed.
And you said it provided benefits too.
It did. It provided benefits, which was what I was looking for in the beginning.
That's not all that common to get a 20-hour week job with benefits.
Well done.
I said, you know, well done. Those are not the most common jobs ever.
Right. Not something that I was totally aware of. So I remember, you know, the one thing my manager said was, you know, I believe everyone should have benefits in 20 hours. You know, you get benefits here. And I was like, all right, I'm in.
Now, were you, did you have the same boss that you do now? Were you working the same place? Or how did that job differ from your current one?
So I still work with all of the same colleagues, pretty much, except for two people. My manager that hired me, or the manager that hired me, has since left. But my manager now was actually my research manager, so not much has changed for me as far as that goes.
Okay, so if I may backing up, you start 20 hours a week. You said you're currently full time. How did that all transition? What was your path there?
Okay, right. So at the time, I had the 20 hours, and at some point I said to myself, okay, I'm ready to maybe pick up another day, you know, and it just so happened that there was an opening within our research team where there was 8 hours available for me to go ahead and do that.
Was after what, like 6 months, a year?
So this was after about 6 months.
Okay.
So, and then within those, you know, within 2 months after that, my colleague ended up, she ended up going on maternity leave. And that's when my manager, you know, asked me if I was interested in covering for her while she was out. And, you know, her position is what I have now, which brought me into this, senior administrative role. And it was just a lot more responsibility. And, you know, I then became the assistant to the chief, and that was a big deal. And it was a lot more work and a lot of things to learn, for sure.
Yeah, so you've been learning on the job.
Right. And that's exactly what it was. So before she went on maternity leave, we went through everything. You know, I was going to cover for her because it was myself and another colleague that were going to be sharing her tasks, but I would be taking on most of them since I was the one who, you know, at that point I was working 28 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So then moving up to 40, I was taking on most of the rest of her work.
Now, just about every job has little informal training that you get to do your job. Mm-hmm. Did you have any other formal training to do your job, you know, beyond your Berkeley education? Did they send you to take a class or get some sort of certification?
So you are able to, and Children's provides classes that you can take, whether it's, you know, an Excel, PowerPoint, or they even have medical terminology, which for me was really helpful. And I know for a lot of our researchers, it's also really helpful because, like, if, you know, you're looking at a chart and you're screening for something, you're able to see, you know, what the medical terms are and what they mean, depending on what you're looking for. And there are programs that we have to use. And with that being said, you know, they provide all the training for you for, you know, putting admissions in and things like that. So
that's great. So do you expect to be doing this type of administrative role for a long time to come?
So I'm actually I'm waiting to hear back from Mass General because I'm currently applying to nursing programs. I just finished my prerequisites this summer, actually, a couple weeks ago. So that's exciting.
Oh, that is exciting. Good luck.
Yeah. So, and it's been great. It's been really great. And I can't wait to, you know, hold a clinical role one day in a hospital because I see all the work that all my friends do and I want to be just like them. So,
tell me, you said you're taking prerequisites. You took prerequisites. How did that work?
Yeah. So Children's has a really great program as far as tuition reimbursement. When you're working full time, you get up to $5,000 a year. And that's not an academic year. It's just January to December. And I was able to do so the past 2 years by taking a class a semester. And then this summer I decided to take two classes, which was very intense, 8-week intensive course in anatomy and physiology and microbiology. But, you know, it's done and I did it. And I, again, it was something I wouldn't have been able to do had it not been for the support of colleagues and the hospital.
Oh, that sounds like a great program. So there are some companies that will do that and really invest in their people. And that's always a sign of a great place to work.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
then if you do get it admitted to this Mass General nursing program, then what?
So then, you know, I get to go to a very intense nursing program for 14 months and put more pressure on myself. And, you know, then, you know, I have, you know, I do have a network at Children's, which is great. So hopefully I end up in pediatrics. I'm not really sure 100% if that's where I want to be, if it's, you know, pediatrics, adolescents, or older. You know, but I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. I feel like this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I've had a lot of opportunities since graduation and now. So.
Well, that's great. Sounds like you are on a wonderful path. And
yeah.
Congratulations, by the way, for figuring out so quickly. It took me considerably longer, as well as many other people.
Thank you.
So we could just go on to the final part of the interview, a few last questions. So one is, what is your current relation to music?
So at the moment, I sing at wedding ceremonies here at St. Patrick's Church in Stoneham. You know, it's generally a request that's made. Someone finds me and they're like, hey, I remember you used to sing at the church. Will you sing at my wedding? Sure, you know, awesome.
That's great. And Stoneham, for listeners, that's a suburb, what, about 10 miles north of Boston?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's correct.
And you're from there then?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Keep going.
And, you know, I'll sing with friends. I mean, again, my family's very musical. My dad's a professor at Berkeley as well, and my brother is a Berkeley grad as well, and, you know, so there's that. And then otherwise, it's just really going out to local shows and supporting local musicians and local bars, too, I guess. And, you know, enjoying it. It's really great to be someone who can sit and listen and also analyze and hear and you know, think they hear well, at least, and, you know, enjoy it.
Well, good for you.
Thanks. All
right. So now, next question is, right, you graduate from Berkeley. Think of what you're doing now. Although if you want to put this in the context of being a nurse as well, that's fine. Is there anything that you feel that your Berkeley education experience did particularly well to prepare you for where you are now?
Yeah. So I mentioned before I had Marty Dennehy as a professor. And if there's one thing he taught me, it was professionalism. And that's something that he noted that I was very good at. And I think I took that very seriously. You know, we talked about deadlines. We talked about, you know, being cordial and professional with the people you work with and compassionate and understanding. And those are all things that are really important. And I took ethics with Joe Muglio. And he, you know, to me was someone who really taught me to stand up for myself. And there's also... there's one other professor who teaches contractual law, and she too, like, again, taught me how to stand up for myself in the workplace. And those are things that I, you know, really carry with me every day, every day.
Oh, that's great to hear. My next question for you is, right, as you know, since obviously your father was a Berkeley professor, Berkeley is a music school, right? It gives one degree, a Bachelor of Music degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps in hindsight, we all might wish that we went to a school that specializes in exactly what we're doing today.
Mm-hmm.
But all that said, right, you went to Berkeley, and you went to Berkeley knowing the degree that Berkeley offered.
Right.
But is there anything you say, like, you know, it would have been nice if Berkeley had taught me this?
Yeah, it would have been nice if Berkeley, you know, I wouldn't trade my education for the world that I got there. I just wish it at some point, you know, during internships or what have you, that it would have been like, but if this doesn't work out, it's okay. And like how to really make what you're doing your own instead of maybe just looking at what's out there and being like, oh, that's it. Yeah. If that makes sense. I don't know if.
Actually, we probe that a little more. When you say just being told it's okay, do you mean just having professors or others say on the aside, whatever you end up doing is okay? Or are you talking about a more formal program?
Well, no, it's okay to start somewhere and it not be the place where you end up. And I mean that in a way where, you know, people used to ask me, oh, what are you going to do with that degree? And this is people, you know, clearly outside of the institution. And I would just look at them and I would be like, what do you care? Like, regardless of what I do, I have a solid education and I know I can go somewhere, you know, and with that said, I feel like I have. I just kind of wish that was instilled more, that no matter where you end up, music related or not, like, you're going to go somewhere.
That's a great message. Was there any, let's say, formal training you felt would have helped you better to go somewhere? Or was it just that ethic that you were looking for that you didn't find? Is there some sort of program, either a class or it's grade into class, that you say, boy, it would be nice if they taught this?
You know, it would have been nice if there was, you know, some type of team related building program of, you know, outside of the music industry or close to or something like that, where it's like a bigger scale on real world business.
Okay, cool. So my last question for you, we're coming to the end here, is again, you are on an awesome path and I'm happy just listening to you talk about your career. It sounds like you've really found yourself and what you want to do for your, with your life. Many both graduates and current students are not so fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And is there any message, is there anything you'd like to say either to recent graduates who are still trying to find what that path is for them, or even students who are looking out into the big scary world and saying, you know, what's going to be there for me? What am I going to do? Any advice?
Yeah, you know, I still follow the industry as closely as possible. And so I have to say that with all the upcoming changes, don't lose sight of what you really want. You know, if you do want to play big shows, if you want to be behind the scenes, if you want to be in a subcategory of, you know, doing the fashion for the shows, whatever it is, you know, stay focused on it. And if you do stray a little bit, that's okay. There are always back roads to go to the place where you want to end up. And if you find out that your passions lie elsewhere, go with that too. It's okay. But just, you know, don't give up. Always try. And, you know, don't just do good. Someone told me once, don't just be good at something, be the best at something. And that's something that I also live by. So that's the advice I have.
That being the best, that is absolutely terrific advice. And I really do want to commend you, and I hope everyone listening thinks about it, that you had that administrative job that on paper may have looked kind of similar to what you're doing now, and it paid very respectably, and you had the courage to walk out of there.
Yeah.
And that never would, you know, you wouldn't be here if you hadn't had the courage to leave at that time. That you knew it wasn't right for you.
Right. And that's something else, right? If it's not right for you, that's okay. You can walk away.
Okay. Well, again, very inspiring to hear you talk. I'd like to thank you for your time to do this. And any last words?
I wanted to say, too, you are also a great professor. You totally helped me face my fear with math. That 100%. So thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right. Great. Immortalized now on the internet.
Oh, God. No, that's okay. You're fine.
Okay. Well, you take care. And I look forward to hearing how it goes in nursing school and afterward.
Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Bye.